Thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. You know, we thank God for resurrection. We thank God for all that Christ has done for us. You know, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Without Jesus dying, our sins would never be paid for. There would be no Christianity if Jesus did not die and raise from the dead. Hallelujah. So the resurrection is pivotal to Christianity. You know, there's no other belief that has what we have, because we have a Savior who came in our place. God came in human flesh to take our place, to die for our sin, because sin is the issue between God and man. Sin is what has separated God from man when Adam disobeyed. Hallelujah. But thank God that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us and to take our sins away. Now we can have what he has. Do you know that? What Jesus did in exchange is so that we can have what he has, even though it is not yet perfected while we're in this world, because it's still a fallen world. That's why this world will be folded up and God will create a new earth and a new heaven. So while we are here, we can reign with the life that we have, even though we have the elements of this world opposing some of these things. But we can triumph over them with the life, because it's the same life that Christ has that you have. Eternal life. Eternal life does not just mean life that goes on forever. Eternal life means that, and it also means quality. So it's not just quantity, it is quality that is the very life of God. Hallelujah. So in Romans 10, he begins to tell us how you can receive what Christ has done for us. This is how to receive it. Because everything that Jesus did has to be received. Everything that God does for us is like a gift given to you. And this gift is available to all of humanity. In fact, when we go preaching and evangelizing the people, it is so that they will be aware of this gift. That's what preaching, that's what evangelism is all about, to announce it. To let them know, because the Bible says, in fact, the Romans 10, we're not going to read verse 14 and 15. It goes on to say, how shall they call on him in whom they have not what? They have not heard. There has to be the teaching of the gospel so that people can hear. So when they hear, what will they do? They will call on him. And they say, how shall they hear unless what? Actually, the scripture, did I quote it right? How shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? You should have corrected me. Amen. That's from verse 14 of Romans chapter 10. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Because in order to call on Jesus, you must first what? Believe. We said last Sunday, these were written that you may believe. See, the word of God is of no benefit to a person who does not believe. It is for, so how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there is a preacher? You know, when you read the word preacher there, you think, oh, that's for the pastor. No, no, he's calling you the preacher. Because you are bearing what? Good news. We are all preachers. We are all to make sure that our family members hear. Because if they don't hear, they cannot believe. And if they don't believe, they cannot call on him. Amen. We've got to ensure that every person that we meet, they hear. I'm not saying that you should bombard them with scripture and all of that. But it should be known wherever you go, everywhere that I've worked. I've made sure that there's no person that I've met that's come across me in my workplace that has not heard. Amen. Hallelujah. Every person, and you know, the Lord God will give you wisdom on how to do it. You know, some people will just come to me and say, how come you're always at peace? And then I'll begin to tell them. Amen. So you can find a way to tell people, because if they don't hear, they cannot believe. Well, let's go back to our scripture. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. We're talking about how to receive what Jesus has made available. Say, but what does it say? What does it say? That is, what does the righteousness by faith? Because we're talking about righteousness that you receive by faith, not through your own works, not through your own effort. Everything Jesus has done is a gift. Christianity is not about what we do. It's about what who he has done. It has to remain like that. Christ must be glorified in our lives every day. We must never elevate what we do. You know, I pastor, I teach, but it is nothing compared to what Christ has done. In fact, the reason I'm able to teach, the reason I'm able to pastor well, is because of what Christ has done. You know, Paul put it properly. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, I walk more than all the other apostles. But he said what? Yet not I. It is the grace of God which was upon me that enabled me to do that. So it is always about Jesus. He said, but what does he say? The word is where? Is near you. Is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What word do we pray? Do we preach? The word of faith. The word of faith is only a word that has faith in it. You know, the word is designed to do what? To stir up faith in us. The word of God is to develop faith. The gospel is called the word of faith. It is to build faith in people. It is to cause people to believe. Praise God. So I wanted to understand what I'm trying to get to today is the importance of speaking the word. He said the word of God is near you. He says near, it's in your mouth. You know, this is quoting Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy and Leviticus, he was telling the children of Israel, he said, nobody has to go to heaven to get God's power to come down. God has already come down to you. And he has come down, he has given you his word. His power is in his word. Now, so in the preceding verse, he said, no one should say, how shall we get Christ to come from heaven? He has already come. He came and he died and he rose again, and we have the word. So anything I need from God, where is it? Where is it? It's in the word, and the word is where? In our mouth, and where? In our heart. As you're hearing the word every day, all the word of God that you've heard over the years, or that you're just hearing, they are there in your heart and is near you. Remember, Jesus said the word, kingdom of God is not low here. Low there. The kingdom of God is where? It's within. It's inside. There is nothing that we are trying to get from God that is out there. It's in us and it's in our mouth. Praise God. Woo! This is powerful. I'm already excited about this. Amen. Everything is in your heart and it's in you. Did the Bible not say, as he thinketh in his heart? Hallelujah. Say, guard your heart with all diligence, for where? Out of it are all the issues of life. The spring of life is in everything that God has. That's why we hear the word, so it can go into our heart. So that when it goes into our heart, it has to come out of our mouth. Then it becomes powerful. Look at what he's saying. This is how to get saved. And if you're wondering, Pastor, how am I going to do this? You already did it. Because this is what you did to be saved. You just need to continue to do it. When it concerns your health, you do the same thing. When it concerns your peace, you do the same thing. When it concerns your children, do the same thing. What should you do? Your heart and you. Let's keep going. Verse 9. that if you confess with your mouth, say confess with your mouth. Can somebody get saved if they don't confess Jesus? No. Is the mouth involved? What other thing is involved? The heart. So the reason people are not saved is probably because they have not heard. Or they have not believed. Or they have not spoken. Well, the believing and the speaking, they go together. Amen. So if you can get someone to believe and to say it, they are saved. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't know if that person is a Christian. This is the condition for being a Christian. And I'm telling you this because as a pastor, you get many people say to me, say, you know, I know this person, but you know, they do this, the way they live their life, you know. So I'm not so sure that they are Christians. And I tell them, as the person believe, does believe in Jesus? Say yes. As they receive Jesus, say yes. But I'm still not sure that they are saved. So how are you sure that you are saved? Because do you do everything perfectly right? No, the only way to be saved is to believe in you. And you can't see people's heart. Can you see their heart? No. So how can you judge their heart and say they are not saved? Only Christ can make that determination. Amen? Unless somebody tells you, I don't believe, then you know. But if someone says, I believe in Jesus, you know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Christ is what? They have eternal life. Why am I saying this? Because sometimes we read these and then we begin to add other things. They are saved. If they are not living the right way they should live, then you pray for them. Praise God. Say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead. We're talking about this because we just celebrated Easter. You will be saved. You will be saved. Is that simple enough? Is it simple? Wow. Thank God it is simple. I said on Friday, if it is hard, it's no longer a gift. If I want to give you something and I give you conditions, lots of conditions, I tell you that's not a gift. You are going to work for it. If it is a gift, it has to be easy. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all who what? Who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I'll give rest for your soul. Amen. He said, come to me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is what? Is easy, and my burden is light. Say, Christianity is easy. Do you like the sound of that? You know, I used to think it was hard, but it's not hard. It's about believing. Amen. Yeah, are there challenges? But what do I do? What do I do when I have challenges? I go to God because he's the one who carries my burdens. God doesn't want you to carry. He said, cast all your cares upon him. You see, the challenge is that we've been carrying the cares. That's why it's hard. You are not to carry any care. If any care comes, you know, the word cast is a very powerful word. It means to throw it. So if any care is, if a care about my children comes, what do I do? Instead of trying to analyze, there are people who are too analytic. You know, you think, oh, that's wisdom. Let me analyze and let me work out and try to work out. I don't try to work out anything. You know, as a pastor, you see me after 20-something years of doing this work, I'm always smiling. Why am I smiling? Do you think this work is not challenging? It is a challenge every day. But I smile because I don't carry the care. It's on him. You see, the Bible says the government shall be upon where? On his shoulder, not on my shoulder. My shoulders are not big enough to carry the problems of my family. The challenges of the church, the challenges of the things that are going on in the world. So what is important is that when you read the word, when you hear the word, believe it and let it come out of your mouth. This is really the whole crux of why we come to church, where we hear the word of God, where it's all about believing and doing what? And speaking and confessing. said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10. For what? With the heart one believes. So for anything to happen, this is how the kingdom of God works. It works with the heart and with the mouth. And I know many times, a lot of us, we say, well, I have it in my heart, but I don't need to say it. Where? You haven't done the full thing. It's like two sides of a coin. You know, who do we have? You know, you have the head and you have the tail. Do we still have the head of the queen on it? Have they got one that we have the king on it? Or you can check your coin or your notebook. You see, if you were to present the tail, you know, wherever you're going, and you say, well, I want to buy something without the head, it is not legal tender. It will not be accepted. They will tell you this money is not money. They won't even tell you it's incomplete money. They will tell you it is not money. It is not the UK currency, the currency that we accept in the United Kingdom. So you must present the head and the tail. So in the kingdom of God, you must present the heart and the mouth. It's both. So for with the heart one believes, unto what? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now notice this. He didn't say salvation before confession. Did you get that? What do you have first before salvation? You have confession first before salvation. Now, the time you are confessing, before you confess, were you saved? Now, I want you to catch this. Why would you confess if you are not saved yet? Come on, give you an answer. Why would you confess if you're not saved yet? Because you believe, and the confession is what to do what? Will get you saved. So you are not saved yet. So I want to bring it to healing. If you are not healed yet, why should you say, I am healed? Because you believe what God said, that you are healed. So you say it so that you'll be what? You'll be healed. Now, this is a powerful thing. So say you are weak. You are not strong yet. But he said, confession unto what? Salvation. Confession comes first before what you are trying to get happens. That's the way the kingdom of God works. So someone said, well, but until I see it. No, you don't. In fact, when you say you want to see it, do you know anything you see, you don't have to believe. It is a tautology to say, until I see it, I will not believe. You know that? Because if you've seen it and you say, now I believe. That doesn't make sense. Because the Bible talks about hope. You say hope that is seen is not hope. For why will a person yet hope for what he has seen? Say, well, you know, mom and dad, they're going to give me a gift and all of that, and I'm hoping for it. And then they bring the gift and say, I'm still hoping for it. No, it doesn't make sense, because now you have it. The reason you confess is because you are not saved yet, and you confess so that you can be saved. The reason I say that I am healed is because I'm not healed yet, so that I can be healed. That's how the kingdom of God works. It works this way, with your heart and with your mouth. Look at what it says. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this is how everything else works. The Bible says, if God gave Christ for us, he didn't spare him, how will he not with him give us all things? You said that this morning, isn't it? That's a powerful statement. Romans chapter 8, I think 31, 32. How shall he not with him? Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Say, thank you, Lord. We need to get into the act of speaking the word. Speaking the word. I strongly believe that that's the missing link. Not just speaking it once, continuing to speak it. See, every day I declare that I'm a believer, I'm saved. You know, are you saved because you feel saved? Are you righteous because you feel righteous? There are many times that you don't feel righteous, that you actually want to condemn yourself, say, guess what I did? But you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that you are saved. Hallelujah. Colossians 2, let's look at what it says, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus. Now, we're doing a teaching now. How do you receive Christ Jesus? By believing. We just read Romans 10. Romans 10 is the way you believe Jesus. That's how you received him. The same way that you received Jesus, the same way you will walk in him. The Christian life is about believing and confessing. The same way you received him, Romans 10, 8 to 10, that's the way you will live your life. That's the way you will do everything. You have to keep believing and speaking. That's what Paul is telling the Colossians. He said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. The word walk there is an old English word. It just means live in him. And this is what faith is. It's saying that you receive Christ by faith. Don't try to live the Christian life by your works. Because that's the challenge that they were having. The book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and all of the books that Paul was writing, he was transposing, he was comparing living by faith, by believing and speaking, to doing things. I thought people would find it easier to believe and say. But you know, the enemy wants it, because when you are doing your works, it makes you feel good about yourself. Christianity is not about me feeling good about myself. It's about me feeling good because of what Christ has done. You remember there was an account that Jesus, that is a powerful statement. People don't realize when Jesus told the parable of when he hired people. The man hired people to do work. And he was trying to explain grace and works to them. So he hired one, maybe, what time was it in the morning? 9 o'clock in the morning, let's say. Let's use our own working time. And they had to work. And they worked from 9 till, let's say, 5. No, the whole day. They had to work the whole day. And so some people, Jesus was telling the disciples, was trying to let them know the difference between faith and works. And so what happened is, when he met the people at 9, he agreed what? Their wages. See, any time it is your wages and you work for it, it is work. You are receiving what you did what? What you worked for. That's why the Bible says, if Abraham had been justified by works, he would have reason to boast. God doesn't want anybody to boast in themselves. They are to boast in the Lord. So Abraham did not boast in himself. In fact, Abraham had done many wonderful things. But do you know when God counted him as righteous? The Bible says Abraham believed God and he was counted. He was accounted. You see, righteousness is a gift. It's unenable. So the people he met at 9 o'clock, I'm assuming it's 9 o'clock, maybe it was earlier, but let's use our own working time. He agreed with them. So if you work for it, what is it? It's a wage. So, and then he met some people at 10 o'clock. He agreed with them. Then he met another set of people at 11, at 12. And then he met some people at 4 in the evening. They're going to close at 5. He didn't negotiate with them. He just told them, come into the field and work. See, the people did not have a wage mentality. They didn't say, what are you going to pay me for my work? Now, I want you to understand that this scripture is about comparing grace and works. It's not saying that you should not work. Amen. Don't say, I'm going to wait till 4 o'clock before I go to work. You know, but he's trying to say how it works in the kingdom. So when they came, he asked the paymaster to pay them the same. And the people who came at night said, come on. This is not fair. This is injustice. How come these people only arrived? Then what did he say to them? He said, did I not agree the wage I gave you? I gave you what I agreed. We agreed at 9 o'clock. We agreed at 10 o'clock. These people just turned up. Is it not my money? I can give it the way I want. You see, God, everything God has is a gift from him. And he gives it. The way he gives it is not those who come, I have worked for it. If you have worked for it, then you will be paid what you deserve. But if you didn't work for it, hallelujah, but you are trusting in him to give you what he has for you, hallelujah. Does that make sense? This is how to live the Christian life. Say, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, many of us start by grace. And then we want to do what? By our works. It's so easy to do, especially if you've been a believer for a long time. I've gone through that stage where you start by grace, then we go to works, then we go to grace again, then we go to works. So I have to keep telling myself, it is not a works, lest any man should boast. As you receive him, so you walk in him. Verse number 7. He goes on to explain this. Rooted and built up in him and established in what? In the faith. It has to be faith. The word of faith, which we preach. And the faith is what? What is faith? That is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come back again. If you have seen it, then you don't need to say it. You don't say, well, you know, I've not seen the things that I trusted God for. Then that's when faith is needed. Otherwise, we would not be preaching the word of faith if you have seen everything, if you have heard everything, if you have received everything, if you have everything. This is how the kingdom works. And I'm tying it down to salvation. Because that's how salvation works. That's how every other thing works. Look at any area of your life that you are lacking, that is a lack. Just do something. Please. Believe and speak. Hallelujah. Is it easy enough? You know, sometimes when it's easy, you know, we don't appreciate it. We want it to be hard. I want you to know that Jesus' yoke is what? It's easy and his burden is light. Don't let anything that you come to God. Works have their place. What we do for God have their place because God enables us to work for him, but it is not the way you receive from God, not by works. All of our, what? They are like, all of our righteousness, they are like filthy rags before God. You just think about that. They are like filthy rags. You know, so if you come with your righteousness to God, you'll say, what is that? This is not enough. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, because we are supposed to live by faith. Romans 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. See, you have to believe. The reason people are not saved because they have not believed. It is the power. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. And salvation is not just that you have eternal life. You have everything that eternal life contains, that the life of Christ contains. Because eternal life has everything. It has joy. It has peace. It has health. So when you are saved, don't just say, well, I'm saved now. I'm a candidate of heaven. You are supposed to live eternal life here on earth. Amen. And the way you receive it is what? You believe and you confess. Believe and confess. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. Keep going, verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from what? From faith to faith. See, the righteousness of God is revealed. Not that the righteousness of God is made available. It is revealed to you the more you keep having that faith. You know, you have, and what is the faith? The faith is that you keep believing and speaking. Keep believing and speaking. Your faith grows when you keep doing that. What happens is that your confession gives force to your faith. It gives power and gives strength to your faith. So make sure you are not just believing, but you are speaking. Say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. It is not just a song. It is scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I've told you that when I was growing up, my mom didn't know much scripture. You know, she was a Muslim. And then she converted to Christianity and she loved God so much. But one thing my mom never did, she never spoke negative words. You know, when you go to her and she hasn't got money to give you, she'll say, you know, I have so much abundance now. When she says it, you know, there's nothing for you. Amen. Because she will refuse to say, I don't have. Even though you could see physically, we did not have physically. But she would never say it. And I was amazed when God raised that. The way my mom became rich in terms of finances is just amazing. Because the means by which God prospered her financially, you could never have imagined. Because it was something that it would have involved an educated person to do. And she was uneducated. And God gave her wisdom to be able to read those things, to understand those things, and to sell those things, and to work in that area. It had to take God for a person who did not even finish primary school. Whether she even went at all. And there are many of you have testimonies like that. How God raised you out of the dunghill. It was not your work. What could you have done when something that involves you going to university and you can't go? And now you are able to do it, not exactly the way we understand, but you're able to function in that environment. Who can do that? It's only God. It happened by grace. But her words, I told you how she will always sing, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him by his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. You know, I heard that song so many times. You know, many times, my mom didn't force me to join her, but many times I would just join her. And I would be singing to her. I didn't realize that she was storing faith in me. Because I can see clearly that she had nothing. And she said, I've proved him over and over. Have you proved him? You haven't proved him. He hasn't done anything for you yet. But she kept singing it. It comes by believing. Do you know the proof that you believe is that it comes out of your mouth? Hallelujah. Believe and confess. Praise God. I said, praise God. For the just shall live by what? By faith. The just lives by believing and confessing. Thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 11. Let's hear from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. Because when Jesus spoke, he was sharing kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle. Mark 11. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Because the just has to live by faith. Not just be saved by faith. You have to live by faith. The same way that you receive Jesus, the same way you will walk in him. You will live in him. So Jesus answered. Now he's going to explain to them what I mean by have faith in God. He's going to break it down. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what is a mountain? A challenge, a problem, a trial, whatever. So whoever says to this mountain, be what? What is that? What is that? Speaking. Whoever says. So if you face a challenge, anything that is a mountain that is bigger than you, what are you supposed to do? You speak to it. You know, there is prayer and there is saying. There is prayer and there is saying. You know, saying is part of prayer, but there is a time in prayer you can ask. And you can what? Say. Prayer is not just asking. Asking is part of prayer, and speaking is part of prayer. In fact, a lot of the miracles that Jesus did, he was not asking God to do anything. What was he doing? He was speaking. when they asked Jesus when they needed wine at the wedding, what did Mary say to the people? Whatever he says to you, do it. Why is she saying that? She's already aware that this man, he operates by what? By speaking. And I've experienced it at home every time we needed Maggi cubes at home. Whenever we need olive oil, he would just say something, and as soon as I do it, it happens. So when they got to the party, and that was the first public miracle that Jesus did, so nobody ever knew that he could do miracles, only Mary and the folk at home. So Mary is telling the people what I have experienced at home. It happens when you do what? What he says. What did he say to the people, the blind, is it the 10 lepers? What did he say to them? He said, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, as they what? As they went, as they were responding to what he said. The kingdom of God works by believing. You see, anything Jesus said, he already believed in his heart. That's why he said it. Not just because he was the Son of God. You know, Jesus was the Son of God. He was also what? The Son of Man. The Son of Man means that he came and was born of man, that is of Mary, of the flesh. So he was also acting what we should be doing. He was our substitute and he was our what? Our example. I hope you're getting something here today. Let me go quick. I've got so much to say. Mark 11, 22, you say, 23, say, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be what? Be removed and cast into the sea, does it not line up with the word to cast all your cares? He says, does not do what? Doubt in it. What are the two parts of our body involved? Our heart and our mouth. It always, because that's how you got saved. With a heart, man believes, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Always, always, that's the word of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt. See, the mouth and the heart must be involved. Look at next verse. Believes that those things that what? Did he say those things he thinks? Those things he imagines. What does he have to do? You know, if it sounds foolish, because the Bible says the things of God, they are foolishness to man. It's like foolishness to the wisdom. In fact, that's why many people who think they are wise do not serve God. Because they will think, no, it's too foolish. Who does that? Who says something and it happens? But every day you say it. You tell people, I'm going to London. And then you go. I'm going to eat cornflakes. And then you eat it. You know, so every day you are doing what you are saying. And then you are saying God's word is foolish. Because he asked you to say it. Can you see that? But every day you are saying it. Somebody asks you today, what are you going to do after service? Oh, I'm going to visit my friend in Langley. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then you do it. Do you know what happens? Anything you have said to people, you are more likely to do it. Because your word is like your bond. If you haven't said it, in fact, some people say, thank God I didn't say it. Maybe you were supposed to attend an occasion. And you haven't promised them. That's why they say RSVP. RSVP is that you say that you're going to be there. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. That's what it means. Amen. That's French. You are responding that you will be there. And once you respond, can you imagine that you're invited to a wedding? And then you responded that you are coming. And on that day, you didn't come. Do you know how especially today where weddings are so expensive and your table has been booked. Maybe your table is £60 and you didn't turn up. You've got to respond to God's word. You believe it in your heart and then you respond. You believe that the people are actually getting married. That's why they printed an invitation, isn't it? If they were not getting married on that day, they wouldn't print the invitation. They thought about it. They planned the date. You don't say, well, look at the invitation. Am I sure they're going to get married? So I'll wait till I see their wedding before I respond. No, you don't do that. You believe in your heart that they're going to get married. That the date is fixed. That the venue is fixed. That the menu is ready. That the food is ready. That's why Jesus said, come, all things are ready. In God's word, all things are ready. They are ready. Everything you need in the world, everything you need for your life and for your sustenance is ready. You have been invited to the banquet. Hallelujah. The banquet in the hall is ready. You need to respond. How do you respond? With your mouth. So Jesus said, believe that those things which he what? He says will be done. They will have whatever. Can you see how many times he's using the word say? Say, say, say. And then he concludes verse 24. Look at verse 24. Whatever things, what? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. I told you asking is part of prayer. Prayer is not just asking. There are many things that you worship in prayer. You talk in prayers. You do that. So he's saying when you pray, when you are asking, believe. Say believe that you receive them. I know, I trust that you've caught this revelation. Well, Jesus, why will you believe that you received them? Because you don't have it yet. We go back to confession unto salvation. Because if you were already saved, you would not need to confess. If you already sinned your healing physically, why will you say, now I'm confessing my... No. Because it hasn't happened yet. And the reason we have to keep... See, like I told you, we live in a world where there's elements coming against this body. It will not happen when we leave this earth, when Jesus returns. So the elements are coming, so you have to keep doing what? Keep confessing. So he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And then you will do what? Do you see? Is there a difference between receiving and having? What do you think is the difference? When you receive is when you believe that God has given it. When you have it is when you see it physically. So in the kingdom of God, the reason you have to say it and the reason you have to believe is the believing is when you receive. When you say, you know, when you trust God, say for, what is it? You trust God for a good woman, a good wife. You know, I trusted God for a good wife. And I kept going until one day I turned up in the church. And I believe that's why the Spirit of God prompted my spirit, because that's what I was desiring. You know, so I already believed in my heart. You know, you meet people and say, oh, you know, when are you going to get married? I said, well, my wife is coming. Amen. She's coming. I've not met her yet, but she's coming. You know, I like what Yonggi Cho said. He said, you are pregnant. When a woman is pregnant, has she received the child? She has received the child, but she doesn't have the child yet. That's the same thing with anything you ask from God. You have received it. You are pregnant with it. If you are pregnant with it, do you ask for it again? No, because the pregnancy is there. You're only waiting for they call it EDD, expected date. You know, there's expected date and there's actual date of delivery. That's how it is in the things of the Spirit. Maybe you are expecting that it will happen tomorrow, but there's the actual date. The actual date is a day that is delivered to you. Hallelujah. But it is when you pray, when you are asking, when you are praying, receive. Say, Father, I thank you that I've asked for this and I receive it now. I receive it now. When my wife and I were trusting God for children, I remember one young man came. He said, Pastor, you know, because I was already ordained the pastor before Toby was born. And he came to the house and said, I was at your wedding. And when I came, I've noticed that you people don't have any children yet. Can you imagine? He's thinking of children for us more than, he couldn't want the children more than us, could he? But it shows that he really cares about us, isn't he? So he left where he was living. He traveled down. It was in the evening. A young man. Well, I was a young, we were young people as well. And I'm still young, amen. So he said, I know a prophet. That's what he said to us. He said, I've been going to this prophet and he's doing miracles. I said, a prophet? He gives children? And he looked at me. So he has power to give children? See, that's how some people don't realize. Jesus, whatever you say, not talk to a prophet. He didn't say go to a prophet. It's you speaking it. You believe it and you say it. So when I said that, I told them, my wife and I, she was there, I said, you know what we said to her? Because we've been studying about faith. We say we have children already. That's exactly what we said. Then he looked around. He's thinking maybe my wife got pregnant and delivered and he was not aware of it. So he's trying to, he actually looked and was trying to say, no, we are pregnant. And then you shall have it. And you have four children today that you can see. Amen. That's the way it works. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Never. In fact, the Bible says, do not, you say, hold fast to your what? Your confession. Hold it fast. He won't ask you to keep, to hold it fast if there will not be things that will make you want to give up. Praise God. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have it. I want us to bow our heads right now. What are you desiring from God? Whatever it is. It could be concerning your body. It could be concerning your children. It could be concerning your parents. We have heard the word of God today. The word of God is to be acted upon. And God's word has told us what to do. Believe it now and say it. You need someone saved. You know, it works. When people tell me and say concerning someone who is not saved, I say, they will get saved. That's what I always say. Never say, oh, maybe. No, they will. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to speak the word. Say, my body is healed. I receive my healing. I receive that career. Maybe there's a particular career that you're trusting God for. There's an area that you're trusting God to move you into. See, I believe in my heart that with God, all things are possible. I receive, I receive, I receive. If it isn't your studies, young people, maybe you need a breakthrough in a particular subject, in an area. The Holy Spirit does not just teach scriptures. He can teach you mathematics. He can teach you every subject that you need to do well in. See, I receive instruction and guidance and teaching from the Holy Spirit right now. And I say it. You know, as you're saying it, you're giving force to it. Confession is made. Under salvation. If there is pain in any part of your body, I want you to declare to it that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. That Jesus has paid for it. He said, if he gave his son, how shall it not with him give us all things? He gives me this healing in my body. That pain is gone. He said, if there's any mountain you speak to it, be removed. Tell whatever mountain is in front of you, is ahead of you, whatever mountain, whatever difficulty, I want you to tell it now, be removed. Ooh, hallelujah. Be removed and cast away. If you're carrying a burden today, carrying worries and fears and concerns and anxiety about anything, I want you to cast that burden upon the Lord right now. Because he cares for you. Let's do it. Just you know, you can speak under your breath. Just declare to God today that people who are having an issue with their career, you are struggling to be able to fit into that career. It doesn't fit your purpose. You know, God has ordained purpose in our hearts. I want you to begin to speak it, that purpose in my heart, the Lord will draw it out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It will come out. I'll begin to function in the area that God has endowed me to function. in the name of Jesus. I will not continue to go around the same mountain again. It is time for me to move forward. It is time for me to advance. In the name of Jesus. If you have concerns over your grandchildren, I want you to declare what you desire for them. What is in your heart for your grandchildren? Begin to speak it out right now. Oh, verbalize it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You shall have whatever you say. Concerning our church, the Lord is building this church. He is drawing people in. He's giving people hearts and desire to pant after the word. And they are coming in to receive truth, to receive life. In the name of Jesus, there is a hunger in our neighborhood, in Chaffo St. Giles, Chaffo St. Peter's, all over the place. Gerard's Cross, Father, thank you because you're stirring up a hunger for Christ in the hearts of people. And Christ will come to prominence in this land, in Buckinghamshire, in Berkshire, in Hertfordshire. Christ will come to prominence all over England. Oh, there will be revival in the land. We believe it. We are not just thinking it. We believe it and we declare it right now. In the name of Jesus, the glory of the Lord will cover this nation as the waters cover the sea. Kambrosekayaba, we are declaring what we believe. In the name of Jesus, that's how the kingdom works. In the name of Jesus, it is well with our children. It is well. They will be leaders in their generation. They will be examples for their generation. They will shine as light in this dark world. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you because we are moving in triumph with you, God. Triumphal procession. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, karabababababa, lindresekelebo. Oh, krandelebo zikayaba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.